Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
News Radio 930 WBEN. It's Tom Bowerly and David Bellavia. It's Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Yep, Bowerly and Bellavia, News Radio 930 WBEN, and getting your take on the tragic events of earlier this week, which led eventually to a little three-year-old boy being found on Potomac Avenue sleeping in a box that one of the nice people on Potomac had put out for the neighborhood cats to sleep in. A little boy finding shelter in a box. And here are some of the things we know and some of the interpretations I have of what we believe we know. And we'll take your telephone calls as well at 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Fact number one, obviously somebody wanted two people in that rented van dead. How do we know this? We know this because I strongly suspect you're going to find out that bullet entrance wounds were found in the back of the skulls of both of the deceased people, which would indicate to me, I interpret that as two people being shot probably at close range by somebody in the rear seat shooting both people in the front seat. That is how I happen to interpret that. I know that it is usually my experience that when a male and a female couple travel together, typically that couple is in the front seat and any guest would typically be in the back seat. I am not saying that that is the case in this situation. I'm just making that as a general statement. What we also know is that surveillance video shows a lone male who originally appeared to have dreadlocks, but that was incorrect. It was a piece of clothing. A lone male prior to the fire breaking out in the car walking toward the car. He does not appear to be carrying anything with him. The next video we see two grown-ups, and I happen to think they're two males. I don't think that's a woman in there. I think they're two males. But let's just say two individuals of adult stature running from the burning car along with the three-year-old kid who is holding hands at one point with one of the grown-ups fleeing from the scene of the fire. So what can we deduce from that? Well, let's deduce a couple of things. Number one, the fact that a three-year-old living witness was allowed to live, I think, is significant. That tells me that whoever did this crime had a liking for or an affinity for that kid and could not bring him or herself to kill that kid, even though it meant leaving a living witness. Number three, do not underestimate the ability of a three-year-old to assist police in a situation like this. Some three-year-olds are particularly verbal. And certainly, and the police obviously have to be very careful how they do this because, you know, children's imaginations sometimes run away. And there's a whole protocol and a way for talking to little kids in situations like this. But do not underestimate the value of even a three-year-old living witness. Now, that also tells me that this was not a sanctioned drug hit. In other words, sometimes, let's say you're dealing drugs and you get clipped, and you get popped, you get arrested. If your superior in the racket thinks that after you got arrested, you may have been flipped and may suspect you of being a snitch, you are not going to have a long life, and to send a message, anybody around you, including your family, is not going to have a long life. If this had been, and this is just my opinion, if this had been a sanctioned hit because whoever the bigger distributor in Florida is believed that the mules may have flipped on him or may have held back on him, that kid would not be alive. So that illustrates to me that this was a robbery, probably for drugs and probably to make away with the money that was to have been spent on the drugs. We also know that 4.4 pounds of cocaine was found in the hotel room in Cheektowaga, rented by these people. Now, if there were 4.4 pounds of cocaine in that room, one must logically ask the question, well, geez, how much was in the van? It wouldn't surprise me if a vast amount of cocaine was in the van, and it wouldn't surprise me if there was a whole bunch of coke in that van. Now, 4.4 pounds of cocaine, without going into the details on this, a lot of it is going to depend on the purity of the cocaine, to what extent it is going to be cut. Is it going to be cut to 50%? Is it going to be cut to 70%? How is it going to be cut? So the minimum value of that level of cocaine, absolute minimum, is $200,000. But by the time it is cut, by the time it is packaged and ready for street sales, probably significantly more than $200,000. You're probably looking, just at the cocaine that was left in the hotel, you are probably looking at an estimated street value approaching $1 million. I don't think I'm very far off the mark, and if I am, if you're DEA, you can text me and tell me how far off the mark I am. But the fact that the car was reduced virtually to ashes also indicates to me a level of technical proficiency with the people who did that arson. The people who burned this car, and this is according to my law enforcement sources who know what they're talking about, the people who burned this car knew what they were doing. They could not have done a better job. They did such a good job destroying that car and any evidence in that car that had that fire burned for another hour, every trace of human remain would have been, in all likelihood, gone from that vehicle, and there would have been next to no chance of a positive identification of whoever the two victims are. And as I said, I think you'll find out that it shouldn't surprise you to find out that you may hear that both of the dead people had entrance wounds in the back of their skulls. So it looks to me like we have a robbery. We certainly have a situation where somebody really wanted those two people dead, but also didn't want to murder the little boy. But they disrobed the little boy to presumably make sure that the fiber and contact DNA evidence was not available to law enforcement when police eventually found the boy after the call from the nice person on Potomac Avenue who took care of the kid upon finding the kid on the front porch. The surveillance videos are extremely important. And those videos that you saw yesterday, in particular, the one that was cleaned up, there are ways, there are people who can do a much better job enlarging and clarifying that image. I have no doubt that the person in that video who stops and then throws the sweatshirt or whatever it is over his head, I have no doubt at all that that person is going to be readily identified. Wouldn't surprise me if it's an out-of-towner. I mean, nothing would surprise me at this point about this particular case. But to me, as I look at the facts of the case, my interpretation is that these people from Florida, I think that they drove into a pre-planned robbery, and I believe it was pre-planned because of the gasoline containers, which, by the way, were not visible in the hands of the person walking toward the fire scene before the fire started, leading me to wonder if they were pre-positioned in the field near where the meat was supposed to be. Because I don't know how the person who did the shooting could have justified saying, hey, I'm going for the ride with you, and I just happen to have two cans of gasoline. Unless they lied to him and said, hey, just to make sure that there's no trace of drugs or anything else in this vehicle, we're going to light it up on fire. It's a rental after all. Who cares? So what is your take of what is going on in this situation? And again, I strongly suspect we'll find out that both of the dead people had entrance wounds to the back of the skull. I believe that what we would say is that both of the dead people were executed before the fire was started. Somebody wanted them dead. Why do people typically want people dead? Well, in the drug world, it's usually over money. Homicides, of course, can also take place over love. Love triangles. Sometimes homicides involve love and money. So there are a lot of variables at play here, and there are certain facts that we know to be facts from which we can draw inferences. And as I have been saying this afternoon, I think one of the most important inferences there is about this whole case is that in such a violent, soulless, cruel double homicide, a living witness, a little boy, was allowed to live to tell whatever tale he could tell. Somebody felt close enough to that kid that they could not bring themselves to kill that child. That indicates to me not an official cartel hit, because the cartel would think nothing of killing a little kid. This hour of Bowerly and Bellavia is brought to you by Nature Valley Crunchy Bars. The satisfying crunch of Nature Valley Crunchy Bars can keep your family going, which means more outside fun for you. And with whole grain oats and real delicious honey, it's really tasty too. Nature Valley Oats and Honey Crunchy Bars. Now let's get to the phone calls. And what I'll do, I'll try to do what I've been doing all week. I'll try to do lightning talk radio. So we'll get to the calls right now, and then after the news at 5:30, I'll try to go boom, 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 call to call to minimize your time on hold. Here is John, and I apologize for keeping you on hold as long as I did, sir. Thank you for your patience. You're on WBEN.
Yeah, hi, Tom.
Yes, sir.
Something I noticed about the is they were running down the dirt road. The one guy stopped to stoop down and do something. And the child and the adult ran on either side of him. And just looking at the body language, the child continued to reach for the person he was running with.
Right.
And they joined hands again and went off. I'd be interested to be looking for the friend of the family that drove up with them. And I don't.
And I, you know what? I will interrupt to say that for a 3-year-old boy, and who knows how many other road trips these four people, might have taken together. Clearly, that little boy knew that individual in some way, shape, or form with whom he was holding hands.
I agree. That's why I like the whoever the third person was that wasn't killed. Also, I don't know that we can assume that the people cleaning this mess up were the executioners. I think it was a drug deal gone bad for sure. And you're in commission of a felony. If death ensues, that's now felony murder. So the whole thing blows up to all the people involved. And very often these drug cases happen in two different locations. The drugs are in one place, the money's in the other, the exchange is made. It takes a few people to do this. So this may be the part of the team that was bringing the coke up, and the money went bad in another location, and they're just cleaning up the mess so they can avoid murder charge on top of whatever else.
Run over that theory again, because I understand parts of what you are saying, but I'm trying to reconcile them with the facts that we have.
Well, I'm thinking that way because it seems like the child knew the person, okay? So I'm not sure we can assume that the people who burned the car and were destroying the evidence, including the child's clothes or threw them away or whatever, were the same ones that caused the death of the two people in the car.
In other words, to put it in different words, you believe that there is a possibility the two people were killed elsewhere and driven by the third person now missing to that location where the car was burned.
That's possible, although that...
Sure, you know what? It is possible, and you know that's why surveillance video from the neighborhood would be very, very helpful.
But if you're also going to be charged with murder, even though you didn't kill anybody, but because you were involved in the...
In a felony, right.
Right, so it's a felony murder. So that's just one more thing on your... So maybe you just want to get rid of the evidence. And if that person did know the child, that would be one of the people that was elsewhere when the deal went down or didn't go down.
But, you know, leaving... Okay, your thoughts on leaving a living witness alive, even a three-year-old, considering that testimony in court has been allowed from parents who have given police leads. And I kid you not.
And there's no age limit from the woman that called in earlier. There's no age limit to a child testifying. They do a little voir dire of the child, and if they understand the difference between the truth and a lie, and they can speak properly and communicate with the court, then whatever age that they can do that, they certainly can testify in court.
Yeah, I mean, that tells me that whoever let that kid live had affection for that kid, whether it was a family friend or whether it was the father. Whoever it was could not bring themselves to kill that little boy, thank God. Got to move on. Thank you for your call.
Thank you.
When we come back after...
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
After the 5:30 news, I will get more calls on. If you have an opinion, you can express it quickly and not worry about being on hold for the better part of your lifetime. At News Radio 930 WBEN, Bowerly and Bellavia. So I have done a lot of talking this hour to kind of set the stage for your telephone calls and your thoughts and your analysis of the facts we think we know about the double, I'm going to call it a double murder and car burning in Buffalo earlier this week. The phone number to call, and again, what I'd like to do here is lightning radio, so when you call in, you don't have to worry about being on hold for a half hour. I can get right to you call after call. The phone number is 803-0930. That's 803-0930, star 930 on the cell phone, and 1-800-616-WBEN. And the sooner you call in and the sooner you fill up those lines, the sooner I can do that lightning talk radio that you guys seem to like. And frankly, I seem to like, too, because it enables you to get your opinion out there with your voice and without the tremendous inconvenience of waiting on hold for a half hour. So this would be the time to call 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. And if you are just joining us, one of the things I strongly suspect you're going to find out is that both of the deceased people in that burned out car had entrance bullet wounds in the backs of their heads, which, by the way, I infer from that they drove to the location where the car was eventually burned. I believe they drove there, and I think they were clipped after the car came to a stop, one after another, bang, bang. That's what I believe happened, whoever the dead people are. Let's get back to the calls. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Chris in Lewiston, you are on. Hello.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I have to take issue with you. I want to crawl through the phone and choke you. You keep going.
It's very uncivil.
About how this three-year-old child can talk. You're sealing the death warrant of any other child caught in this situation. As a parent, we know three-year-olds can talk. But these guys...
I'm pretty sure the bad guys do, too.
I'm sorry?
I'm pretty sure the bad guys do, too. And I have repeatedly said what? I've repeatedly said, I hope that that child is under 24/7 police protection.
Well, I'm not only talking about this little boy. I'm talking about any other child caught in that situation. You have now educated the criminals that kids can remember. Kids.
So people from MS-13 usually don't kill kids in drug deals, but because they're listening to a show in Buffalo, they're suddenly going to start.
No, I'm not talking about MS-13.
People in the drug business are nice people, and my words are going to convince them to do things that otherwise they never would have thought of doing.
I'm not saying you're convincing them, but you're educating them that three-year-olds are smart.
If you are in the cocaine business, you already know these things. There is nothing that anybody is learning from this program that is going to result in anybody being killed.
Well, let's hope not.
Well.
But I'm sorry, I've been listening, and I'm just getting hotter under the collar, and I just had to...
In fact, the only person who's expressed any violent streak has been you when you said you wanted to crawl through the phone and choke me.
Just to shut...
I mean, does that tell me... Just to shut me up?
Yes. Just to... Tone it down and stop stressing about the little boy.
My job is to talk about facts. My job is to interpret facts. My job is to talk about what people are talking about. And quite frankly, I think my emphasis on the three-year-old, I think it has been very smart, because if they haven't already thought of this, I'm sure that child will be under 24-hour police guard, as the child should be.
I am sure the police are already on it.
Well, I'm not sure. One doesn't know these things.
No.
But I'm sorry that you are uncivil enough that you feel as though my full range of expression and interpretation should be censored by a motive that I really don't understand.
A little more prudent and stop stressing the fact that this little boy is a living witness. It's just going to make...
Because I'm sure that the bad guys never thought of that.
I don't.
I think you're being ridiculous, to be brutally honest with you.
That's fine. You can say I'm ridiculous.
I will say it then. You're being ridiculous.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. It might come as a surprise to the previous caller, but people in the cocaine business are not the nicest people in the world. If you know anything about what is going on among the drug cartels, particularly the cocaine cartels in Mexico, you understand that it is a very cutthroat business. And if you believe that they aren't already aware of the importance of living witnesses, dead witnesses of any age, I'm sorry, but you are hopelessly naive. And that, by the way, is a fact which leads me to believe that this was not a professional or sanctioned hit by the whatever cartel or whatever distributor is involved in this particular situation. 803-0930 is the phone number, star 930 on the cell phone, and 1-800-616-WBEN. And it is Joe in Buffalo. Joe, you are on WBEN.
Hey, Tom. Good to talk to you, my man. Hey, just listen to the conversation. I thought I'd put my 3 cents in. You know what strikes me as weird is a three-year-old knowing where to go to get shelter. Maybe the child was placed there. You know, at 3 years old, how do you know where to get warm? You kind of walk, you know, and around, you know, not knowing where you're going at 3 years old. You know where to lay down under a blanket.
You raise an excellent point that was on my list of notes that I never got to mention out loud so far today. That is an excellent point. What is the significance of where that child ended up in that box on Potomac Avenue? Did the perpetrators have a knowledge that there was shelter available? And it's an excellent point.
Awesome, yep. But if I could just, you know, one up that in the most serious, most congenial way. If I was 3 years old myself, I would have looked for a pillow. I would have just tucked her in a blanket. That's just me.
Well, the box the kid found, or that was found for the kid, did apparently have a blanket in it. And the lady who puts the box with the blanket out there, it's a box from the Chewy Company. They sell pet food and stuff. Somehow the kid found the right box. And that issue of how did that kid find that box when the kid was probably dog tired in the middle of the night is certainly worth investigating. And hopefully the police will get an answer out of that, because that might narrow down geographically the location where the killer or those involved might be from.
Right. Hey, Tom, if I could add one last thing, it's probably more important than anything I've brought up so far. If anybody listening to this story could possibly just say a Hail Mary for those who lost their lives and the child and those who committed the act, that'd be an awesome thing. A Hail Mary for each one of those, and may God have mercy on their souls. Thanks.
All right. Thank you very much. And I will go one step further. If anybody has any information at all, now, there are a bunch of agencies that are involved in this investigation, but definitely call the Buffalo Police Department because they can definitely use help from the public in solving this. And I got to tell you, that surveillance footage, especially once it gets additionally cleaned up, is going to be very, very helpful. Here's Tom in Buffalo on WBEN. Tom.
Hi. Since we don't have all the facts yet, I believe there is a possibility that this killer may have, unlikely as it may be, but he may have a come-to-Jesus moment at 10 and spared that little kid just because he didn't want to kill a little kid. Cartel or not, we don't know if it was cartel. We don't have the facts yet. So I'm in agreement with the lady who called two calls ago.
But if you are under orders to do a hit for a cartel and you do not do the hit for a cartel, you are going to be next on the list of people to get clipped. In the movie Scarface, they actually have a scene where Al Pacino is supposed to let a guy blow up a car, but Pacino kills the guy who was going to blow up the car because there were two little kids in the car. And the big cocaine distributor down in South America, he couldn't have cared less. That was the beginning of the end for the character in the movie.
Yeah, but what you may be doing is the person who did let this kid live, you might be changing his mind and saying, man, I shouldn't have done that. And possibly the next person that's going to do something crazy like this, and there's another kid involved, listening to this show, they might say, I'm not letting this kid live just because of what you're saying.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that people who embark on criminal lives already go through all of these sick thought processes, and I reject the criticism 100% entirely and completely. In fact, let me just check my phone here. I have probably more cops on my cell phone than even other cops do, and I have not received a single text. Okay, yeah, I've not received a single text. Let me check my email. I have not received, and I'm telling you the honest to God truth, I have not received a single text or a single email from anybody in law enforcement saying, you're giving bad guys new ideas about murder. Nothing has been... I reject the idea is positively ludicrous, to be brutally honest with you. I'm trying to be a nice guy about it, but there comes a point where my patience does kind of get a little thin. It is 5:48. Let's go to Wayne in Tonawanda. You are on WBEN.
Hello, Tom. Yes, I have to not agree with the lady who called you before, but I understand her point, but she doesn't realize these people are really, really ruthless people. Anyways, my point is, I do believe, and I would say it was a pirate hit. Somebody heard about the movement, and they intercepted it and whatnot. I did not know that people got shot in the back of their head, though. I just heard that from you there, unless I misunderstood what you said.
Oh, I don't think you misunderstood what I said at all. In fact, what I've been saying all day is, I strongly believe, I think you're going to learn that both of the dead people suffered pre-fire shots to the back of the skull.
Oh, yeah, that would make sense.
And I have that, by the way, from somebody who is close to the case.
Yeah, well, don't disclose his name. But anyways, on a serious note.
No, because he'd kill me.
If you listen, if you listen to what the family said, oh, we always take these trips every place, like to New York City and to Chicago and to Houston. Like, okay, why would you go there? If I'm taking a trip, I'm going to Montana and become a dental floss tycoon, like Frank Zappa said. You know, I'm not going to go to a major inner city.
As one cop told me during my prep for the show, these people were not in town to see Niagara Falls.
I kind of gathered
that. And we'll leave it at that.
Yes, I gather that. Absolutely.
But on the other hand, I have to tell you, the grandparents seem like really nice people.
Yeah, obviously they're just doing this with smiles on their faces, their family and whatnot, and like, oh, we're just going to take the challenge, educate them on something, and they use them because that is a perfect front. Here comes a nice, quiet family in a little minivan across the nation. Who's going to bother with them, you know?
Oh, and thank you very much. I brought that up before. Single guy driving a car with Florida plates north, that fits a profile. A couple driving a car with Florida plates north, that also fits a profile. You reduce your radar impression on the profile when you have kids with you in the car, because then you appear to be simply a family on the travel, maybe to see Niagara Falls. Or maybe I shouldn't say that because the criminals haven't thought of that yet. It is 5:50 at News Radio 930 WBEN. It is Bowerly, and it's time to let's get back to the calls on WBEN in order. Here's Tony in Buffalo. Tony.
Yes. Am I on?
You are on.
Okay, Tommy boy. It just goes to show you're ridiculous as usual. I agree with
you. And you're listening to the show, and that makes you even more ridiculous. Let's go to Efren in Buffalo on WBEN. Hello. Going once. Going twice. Efren in Buffalo. All right, here's Dennis in Williamsville on WBEN. Hello.
Hi. I'm a little concerned about the lady that now is taking care of that child. Is she going to be put at risk? Because I've had her on TV, and now you know who she is. And I think that's
the kid is in the care of CPS, and my understanding is that the only visitation is supervised visitation.
Okay, well, I'm just a little concerned now because she's been on television, and they know who she is now.
Well, I'll tell you, the people who did this murder know that the kid is out there.
Right.
I mean, we know that as an absolute fact. They know what they did.
Right.
And I happen to believe that this surveillance footage that was released yesterday is going to go a long way in identifying the so-called person of interest.
Doesn't that make it more risky for them?
The surveillance still?
Well, I mean, the more information that comes out against them, it's going to make it more harmful for her and the child.
Well, I look at it the other way. The more information that comes out, the faster the police can get these thugs off the street.
Well, I hope so.
I mean, that's the whole goal. I mean, people, how many times have you heard the police say, and we'd like to thank the public for assisting us with the information which allowed us to make the arrest? The idea that talking about a situation like this is of benefit to the bad guys is positively ludicrous. On the other hand, we have had many occasions where the police have said, wow, thanks to leads from the public, thanks to thoughts from the public, we were able to get a break in the case. And that's part of what community policing is all about, because the public has more eyes than a police department. Those of you who watch Live PD, those of you who watch any of the investigation discovery shows, you know, and I know, that one of the biggest ways these cases are cracked is because of discussion about these cases in the media and people recognizing individuals who are wanted for questioning by the police. There's just no two ways about it. I mean, you can probably do a compilation of police chiefs thanking the media for their assistance in talking about cases to allow them to get closure on it, to at least assist in that process. It is 5:56 at News Radio 930 WBEN, Bowerly and Bellavia on a Friday.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.